Hi, and thanks for joining us. Biometric authentication could revolutionize online security. It promises the higher level of defense that users will demand before they fully embrace digital banking. So what's standing in the way of its widespread adoption? Misconceptions about privacy, accuracy, and security. Sam Backen, an expert on mobile security with OneSpan, is here to set the record straight. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Really thrilled to be here.
There's a lot of concern out there that biometrics can be easily defeated. Where does that come from?
Good question. So I think a lot of that stems from some of the consumer-grade, what we call device-native implementations of biometrics, where the systems lean a little bit more towards user convenience rather than maybe security. And we've seen, you know, a few headlines out there about security researchers and the like bypassing things like Apple Touch ID or Samsung fingerprint sensors and some Android face recognition. But I guess my point when I'm talking to customers and banks and that sort of thing is, you know, more sophisticated, specialized biometric technology provided by third parties such as OneSpan and others really provide better trust and accountability and security these days. So it's evolving to a point where this is really now kind of bank-grade security, and a number of banks are relying on biometrics for account access and do trust it. So I guess that's the message here, yeah.
Well, so let's start by breaking down some of the more common myths. Myth number one is that facial and fingerprint recognition are easily fooled by a static fingerprint or a photo. What's the reality?
Well, the reality is that it's not as if that's super easy to do. Really, really smart security researchers with sort of a bunch of time on their hands and ideal laboratory conditions and sophisticated, expensive equipment found some ways around some of these consumer-grade systems, again, that prioritize convenience over security. But today's systems include what's called liveness detection capabilities to fight presentation attacks. And what a presentation attack is, like the reproduction of a biometric trait that when processed by the system, it resembles a stored reference for a legitimate user. So those are sometimes called spoofs, and it might include 3D printed models or masks or images or a video, but it's not as if those spoofs are super scalable, right? You've got to have an individual that you're targeting. You have to manufacture a prop. And it's not as if that's cheap. It's not inexpensive to do that. Not everybody has access to that equipment anyway. And even then, that's where this liveness detection that I'm talking about comes in. It identifies whether the presented biometric characteristic is from a live human or if it's a digital or manufactured representation. And liveness detection, it might include things like asking a user to blink or turn their head, or the better way, what I think is the better way, is kind of running some detection behind the scenes and using algorithms and the like to analyze captured biometric sample for signs like, is there paper? Is it a digital screen? Are there eye cutouts in a 3D printed mask? But kind of using artificial intelligence and machine learning to determine that it is or is not from a live person.
Interesting.
Liveness detection and anti-spoof capabilities, again, of those device-native biometrics that are built into consumer-grade mobile devices are just kind of less robust than these third-party solutions. And for particularly sensitive use cases, such as mobile banking, where security is not compromised for user experience or vice versa, because you really can get both, you know, a third-party solution that combines multiple anti-spoof and liveness detection methods is really a better fit.
Myth number two is that biometric authentication provides a lower level of trust than login credentials. Is that true?
Well, I would actually say that it's the opposite. You know, I think a lot of this sort of misperception is from people aside from like my paranoid friends in the cybersecurity industry. There are millions of pictures of most of our faces all over social media and the like, but it doesn't depend on these biometric traits, for example, your face, remaining secret. Again, it's all about how difficult it is to impersonate the living person, presenting that trait to the device that is capturing it. So I think that passwords are inconvenient and really riskier than a lot of the other authentication options that are out there today, just because they can, you know, be bought or guessed or stolen or cracked. You know, I think we all know that credentials really aren't as secret as they once were, and in a lot of cases, criminals have their hands on them. And so with a password, you know, without additional analysis, it's kind of hard to know who exactly is entering the password. Yes, they know the password, but how do you know who it is that's entering that? And I guess my argument then, you know, saying that biometric authentication provides higher trust in these situations is just that it's an additional indicator of trust, right? Validating that the person that's offering this sample for verification is actually presenting this biometric trait, and they're doing it live, and it's connected to the kind of in-the-flesh user.
Myth number three is that biometric authentication is an invasion of privacy. How can biometrics protect user privacy?
Good question. So I think that this is a bit of a misperception that some people have, stemming from some news stories about facial recognition being used for like surveillance without people's consent in public places. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about biometric authentication, because that's definitely sort of an opt-in use case, right? Your bank is saying, hello, customer, do you want a more convenient, secure way to log into your account? If so, do you want to enroll in our biometric authentication system? You know, everything is really explicit and kind of above board, right? The user is giving consent. And in terms of protecting users' privacy, as I talked about a little bit earlier, biometrics really are a better way to secure access to accounts that might hold some sensitive information. Sometimes people will say, you know, you can't change your fingerprint or face if it's ever compromised. And yeah, without plastic surgery, you can't really change your biometric traits like you can a password. But the idea that should a cyber criminal steal your biometric data, that they'll be able to successfully kind of pass the corresponding authentication challenge is not exactly accurate. Unless we're in some sort of sci-fi kind of horror movie, you can't really literally steal someone's live face or fingerprint. And, you know, at the same time, a well-designed biometric system doesn't literally store a user's face or fingerprint, you know. Instead, it's a mathematical representation of that enrolled biometric sample. And that mathematical representation itself is sort of worthless at the point of capture with good liveness detection and that sort of thing.
Well, myth number four is that biometrics aren't practical over the long run because technologies like facial recognition or fingerprint scans won't work as a person ages and their features change. How can biometrics keep up with the natural aging process?
So biometric markers like a person's iris and evidently their ear print, I don't know if you've heard of this, but apparently the shape and structure of our ears are very unique. And those two traits actually remain pretty stable over time based on what I've read. But yeah, a person's face or voice can transform slightly over time. But the length of time over which those sorts of changes to a person's face or voice might occur kind of makes it a non-issue for most user authentication applications. With some of this technology, consumers are authenticating more regularly, and kind of small changes in their features can be learned and updated by the application over time and kind of refresh the consumer's stored fingerprint template, for example, to map changes as they happen. And then in addition to that, users can also register a second fingerprint in case the first fails, for example. And, you know, it's important to think about a layered approach to security with multiple authentication factors, and that really being the best approach.
Well, finally, myth number five is that biometrics are only applicable if the user is already known. Don't biometrics require a known factor to compare against?
Yeah, definitely makes sense. That's a great question. Whereas biometric authentication uses an individual's kind of unique characteristics to confirm their identity, there are also other uses for biometrics that can help businesses strengthen security and fight fraud. One of those is in the case of remote digital account opening. I think that's probably all the more relevant in this coronavirus age. Instead of forcing someone to go into a branch, right? I'm not well versed on all of the states and where they're at in terms of reopening right now. But in Chicago, at least, you know, I can't go into a branch. But with technology such as biometric authentication and ID verification, you know, a person can apply for a bank account, for example, remotely, and simply take a picture of their ID and then actually use facial recognition and comparison technology to kind of compare the person's live face with that picture. Another example is what's called behavioral biometrics, and unlike biometrics based on physiological traits, whether that's fingerprint or face or whatever it might be, behavioral biometrics actually analyze the user's interactions with their device to kind of continuously verify their identity. This can, you know, include measuring how the user inputs data, how they type, capturing movement within a site or the app, kind of how they swipe through and navigate, how hard they're pressing on the screen and that sort of thing. But what's going on in these systems is behavioral biometrics technology is analyzing those interactions and kind of comparing them to a previously developed profile of a cohort. So what sorts of things do humans do when they're applying for a bank account and filling out these forms, for example? And how does that look different than what sort of an automated tool that is doing this might look like, right? There's attackers that automate the filling out of these forms using synthetic identities, using stolen identities to open bank accounts so that they can enact fraud, right? But with behavioral biometrics, you can kind of tell the difference between a live human and an automated tool such as this. So that's another case of not needing to necessarily know the user beforehand, but still get some value out of a biometric technology.
Well, if there's one thing that you want our listeners to take away from this discussion, what would that be?
Now is really the time, I think, for financial institutions to adopt biometric authentication if they haven't already. Mobile banking use cases, biometric authentication is a great way to increase trust and accountability and improve the customer experience. You know, I think a lot of banks are probably taking advantage of device-native biometrics such as Apple Face ID and that sort of thing, but the time is now to expand that offering and offer it to more customers, even those that don't have that specialized hardware, right? So especially with the increase in remote banking that we're seeing now in our new coronavirus world, now is the time. And so OneSpan works with more than half of the top 100 global banks, and we've helped a number of them leverage various biometrics to both improve the customer experience and reduce fraud. So, you know, we'd really be thrilled to help anyone accelerate their digital transformation in this exciting way and improve the customer experience while simultaneously increasing security at the same time.
Well, thanks for all of this, Sam. And if you still have any questions about biometric authentication, you can find the answers at onespan.com.